Radio Prague News.
Czech power company ČEZ has cancelled its tender for two new nuclear reactors at Temelin. NATO's Secretary General has called in Prague for Russia to withdraw combat troops from the Ukraine border. And the puzzle over a multilingual man in Norway with memory loss appears to have been solved by his Czech family. Czech utility ČEZ has scrapped the tender to build two new nuclear reactors at its Temelin site, saying that it's informed the bidders, US-based Westinghouse and the Russian-Czech Mir 1-200 consortium. The move comes a day after the Czech government explicitly stated that it would not give any state guarantees for construction of the nuclear power plants. At the same time, the cabinet reiterated its general support for nuclear power and called for the Ministries of Industry and Trade and Ministry of Finance to plan the country's next steps for its development by the end of this year. ČEZ Chief Executive Daniel Beneš said in a statement that future development with the state would be necessary to develop nuclear energy, given the fact the country could face an electricity shortage in 20 years' time. Minister of Industry and Trade Jan Mladek said the ČEZ tender to build two new reactors at the same time and site was perhaps overambitious and simply not possible under current electricity prices. The minister added that the question of whether a wholly owned state company should take over nuclear power plant construction should be asked. The focus of shareholder companies like ČEZ is often on ever-increasing short-term profits and not on projects with a return over 60 years. A new tender could also have the advantage of opening it up to new bidders, the minister said. NATO Secretary-General Anders Fogh Rasmussen has challenged Russia to withdraw its troops currently lining the Ukraine border. Speaking on a visit to Prague and after a meeting with Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka, Rasmussen said the around 40,000 Russian soldiers went on an exercise but were combat troops ready for battle. Withdrawal of the troops could contribute to easing tensions and help start talks with Ukraine, he added. Rasmussen said that NATO countries should take more advantage of opportunities to jointly buy equipment since they could not meet all their equipment needs on their own. Meanwhile, Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said in a statement for the ČTK news agency on Thursday that NATO should not deploy its troops in Ukraine, even in the event of further acts of aggression on the part of Russia. The Prime Minister stressed that since NATO's character and role are essentially defensive, the alliance should only respond with military force if one of its member states comes under attack. The statement is in sharp contrast with the views expressed recently by President Miloš Zeman. Changes in the constitution, which would curb the president's power, have been suggested by the Prime Minister. Bohuslav Sobotka told the ČTK news agency that a 30-day limit from the parliament's first meeting after elections should be put on the head of state to appoint a prime minister. This would avoid the situation of a former government staying in power with no mandate, he said. President Miloš Zeman waited until mid-January to appoint Sobotka as prime minister following early elections in October 2013. A foreign man found in Norway suffering from memory loss and speaking five languages, including Czech, is very probably a 36-year-old Czech citizen. Czech police said on their website that a number of members of the man's family had recognised him. Norwegian police on Tuesday appealed for information to the identity of the man who was found in a snowdrift in Oslo in mid-December. There were indications from his hands that he'd been bound for some time, and he told the news agency AFP that he'd been robbed and sexually assaulted. That concludes the news from me, Chris Johnston. Goodbye.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, NATO's Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen meets with the Prime Minister for talks, which include the situation in Ukraine and Czech military spending. The Czech utility ČEZ cancels a massive tender for the construction of new reactors at the Temelín nuclear power plant. We'll have details. And a little later in the program, meet Pavel Kapler. He's the head of a research team operating at the Czech base at James Ross Island, Antarctica. NATO chief Anders Fogh Rasmussen was in Prague on Thursday for talks with the Czech Prime Minister and other senior officials. Naturally, Russian aggression towards Ukraine was top of the agenda, but the alliance's Secretary General had also been trying to persuade Prague to boost its military spending. Ian Willoughby has this report.
NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen spoke to reporters in Prague on Thursday in a break between meetings with the Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka and other senior officials. Much of what he said touched on the crisis following Russia's recent annexation of Ukraine's Crimea region and its current deployment of 40,000 troops near the Ukrainian border. Mr. Rasmussen said it was the first time since countries like the Czech Republic had won their freedom and the Cold War ended that one European state had tried to grab part of the territory of another at gunpoint.
From Prague, I have this message to Russia. You have a choice to stop blaming others for your own actions, to stop massing your troops, to stop escalating this crisis, and start engaging in a genuine dialogue. If Russia is serious about a dialogue, the first step should be to pull back its troops.
On the eve of the NATO chief's arrival in Prague, the Czech President Miloš Zeman said he would back a military intervention by the alliance in Ukraine if Russia took further territory. Mr. Rasmussen poured cold water on this idea. He spoke of the isolation and sanctions that Russia could face, but insisted NATO would only go to war if a member was attacked. Meanwhile, on Thursday morning, a local newspaper quoted a highly critical NATO report, which stated that the Czech army would be incapable of taking part in alliance missions unless the country increased its military spending markedly. Czech military spending has fallen by about a quarter in recent years to just over 1% of GDP, a long way below the NATO target of 2%. Mr. Rasmussen said he had encouraged his hosts to boost military spending. However, he stopped short of publicly criticizing Prague and kept his language vague.
It is a national responsibility to take the necessary decisions to make sure that the armed forces live up to the overall requirements within our alliance. I have no doubt that the Czech authorities will do all they can within the budgetary limits to continue modernization of the Czech armed forces. But of course it would help if more resources could be devoted to defence.
For his part, the Czech Prime Minister said he hadn't got the impression from the NATO chief that Czechs were passive fare dodgers not carrying their financial weight within the alliance. Maintaining a proportionate military budget was among the government's priorities, Mr. Sobotka told journalists.
Ian Willoughby reporting. Now in other news, the Czech energy giant ČEZ announced on Thursday it was cancelling a tender on two new nuclear reactors at the Temelín nuclear power plant. The deal, estimated as worth hundreds of billions of crowns, was shelved a day after the government stated it would not offer any state guarantees on the project. There were two remaining bidders in the deal, the US-based Westinghouse and Russian-led consortium Mir 1200, who have been left empty-handed. And for more now on the quashed tender, I'm joined by my colleague Chris Johnstone. Chris, there had been indications for some time that the deal would be scrapped, but what factors influenced the final decision?
Yes, basically the ČEZ chief executive Daniel Beneš had told the government he wanted clarity on whether the state guarantees would be given by June of this year. In effect, the government had a meeting yesterday and said, we're giving no guarantees about this. The energy situation at the moment is too uncertain. Electricity prices are much too low. And so ČEZ, basically a day after the government said that, they've come back and said, well, the tender's over.
And what will this decision mean in the short term for the Czech nuclear sector?
Well, basically both ČEZ's decision and the government decision say that this tender is now closed, But nuclear power is still an option for the years going ahead for the Czech Republic. Part of the problem was that the way this tender was constructed was problematic because ČEZ is 70% owned by the Czech state, but 30% is in the hands of minority shareholders. Therefore, if ČEZ had gone ahead with this project, the minority shareholders could have said there are too many risks involved here over the next 10, 20, 30 years, and we'll challenge this. We'll say that the management is making an irresponsible decision. So that was a big worry for a company which essentially is traded on stock exchanges. So perhaps for the future, the government will say, look, we're still keen on nuclear power, but we'll set this up under a different company, a 100% state-owned company, which will go ahead, perhaps not building two nuclear reactors, maybe just one for the moment, maybe one a bit later. And that's probably the picture of things over the next 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm. And if we look further ahead than that, does the country remain as committed to nuclear power?
Basically, ČEZ and the Czech government have got a problem at the moment. They're making decisions in a void because there's no clear decision out of Brussels at the moment on what their future climate change goals and targets, carbon reduction targets are. So they essentially, the ČEZ and the Czech government can wait till the end of this year to get more clarity on that, and then they'll know whether it's really economically viable to go down the path of more nuclear or stick with coal-fired power plants for the next maybe 10, 15 years or natural gas. So the government's basically looking probably at a decision at the end of this year, beginning of next year, on what the whole energy framework will look like, probably including some proportion of nuclear.
Okay, Chris Johnstone reporting there. Thanks for that. Now, a quick reminder, if you've enjoyed the program so far or have any questions or would like to comment, please write to us here at Radio Prague. The address is english@radio.cz. Okay, but now it's time for today's main feature. You're going to meet Pavel Kapler, and that's in Panorama with Daniela Lazarova.
Czech scientists from Brno's Masaryk University have been involved in polar research since the 1980s, and since 2006 they have their own polar station in Antarctica, the Johann Gregor Mendel Station. For the duration of the polar summer, a team of scientists from Masaryk University works at the station, doing glacier research and collecting data relating to the impact of global warming on microorganisms. The 16-member team is just back from its 2014 expedition, and this week I talked to the head of the team, Pavel Kapler, about its work.
Well, the climate change, of course, is the main topic solved at the Czech base, named after Johann Gregor Mendel. And we are focused on the climate change impacts on the glaciers, especially. So the glaciology is the main topic there, as well as on the impact to the living ecosystems, which means the plant physiology especially. There is a lot of mosses and lichens, so our plant physiologists are simulating the impact of the climate change to their living conditions as well. And plenty of others, because the Czech base is quite small one, but the efforts of the scientists is attempting to be as great and large as possible.
If I understand correctly, you are studying the life of microorganisms able to adapt to climate change. Is that right? What are your findings and how can they be applied or put to use? In other words, what are you hoping to find there?
Well, the microbiology is another of our very promising topics. And right now we are at the primer stage of microbiology research. So right now we are trying to collect as much samples as possible and trying to find some new species. They could be used for some unique protein analysis and some new enzymes discoveries.
You yourself have been to the station 4 times now. Do you actually see any signs of climate change on the glaciers, for instance?
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to admit, the seasons are quite different one by one, which means the landscape of the James Ross Island, as well as the nearest islands, is quite changing between the seasons. But in the average, you can see very clear impact of the climate change and the global warming there. So the mass of the glaciers is decreasing, yeah, and we can see it clearly.
The station serves for 16 people. What are the different areas of study they cover, and do you actually choose them yourselves, or is this done within the framework of international cooperation? Because, for instance, global warming is now a hot topic, so to speak.
It is indeed. The capacity of the station is up to 20 persons. Of course, we need some space for the technical support as well. So let's say 16 scientists is the top of the capacity. And we already mentioned some of the scientific branches already or disciplines. So there is a lot of geosciences scientists. There is a paleontology, geomorphology, volcanology, sedimentology, and of course also some biological fields like limnology, botany, plant physiology, ichthyology, parasitology, microbiology, and many others. And of course the climate change as the most significant characteristics solved here is the crown. So we are trying to join all the fields under this purpose to discover the most possible from the climate change and its impacts as well. So therefore we are still open for the international cooperation. We have some very, very good contacts in the British Antarctic Survey and many others, of course.
In what way are you hoping or should your research contribute to the problem of climate change?
Our aim is to get as much data and as much accurate data to contribute to the global knowing in the best way as we can, because only the joint effort of many Antarctic stations could clarify and to discover what is wrong with the climate now and what could be expected.
So you're hoping to be able to produce a prediction of, for instance, how fast it will proceed?
Absolutely, absolutely, that's right. Part of our research is also focused to the past. So drilling the lake sediments from the very old lakes, we are trying to determine the paleoclimatological, let's say, ranges or limits in the past. So it might be more easy for us to forecast what could be expected.
And are the changes more radical in recent years than they were in the past when you compare it?
Well, yes, that's the assumption, and we definitely need to confirm it.
As a climatologist, what you have found there, does it give you reason for concern?
Well, something is happening. We need to do much more deep monitoring and much more better research in this field. So about the possible sources of this climate change, we still don't have enough information. And above and speaking about the possible solutions, it's much more further to claim this could be a solution of this situation. So I believe something really wrong is happening to the climate, and it is definitely our duty to provide as much information as is possible to clarify this.
Yeah. You were there during the 3 months of polar summer from January to March, but does monitoring actually go on while when you're not there?
Of course, the most of meteorological and as well as some plant physiology instruments are automatic. So they are working without the assistance of the personnel. The Czech station of Johann Gregor Mendel is only a summer station, so it is also only for the 3 months during the Austral summer operated by the humans. And after the period without the presence of the people, we are able to collect the data from the automatic data loggers. So this data will be ready after our return to the station in the next year.
How is it that Czech researchers have a station of polar station of their own there?
Well, the story of building of the station was quite interesting. It was the story about the true courage and big dreams of one brave scientist, Professor Pavel Prošek. So he was so dedicated to this idea. He persuaded a lot of state bodies and a lot of scientists. And in the final stage, the Czech Republic has its own scientific station down there in Antarctica.
You've been there 4 times. Do you find that you look forward to going back again?
Well, this place is absolutely amazing. So there is a lot of reasons to go back there. And every single season, the prevailing feelings is much more like, why I couldn't stay there for a longer time? And when will be the time for me to go back there? So I believe there is a lot of reasons to go back.
What made the biggest impression on you when you went first?
Well, my first impression was really not so good, I have to admit. It was not so bright at the first sight, because the Antarctica, especially in the place of this unique place, it is called the coastal oasis, which means for Antarctica there is less ice than in the continental Antarctica. I believe in the archipelago of James Ross Island there is maybe 1% of deglaciated ice-free area of the whole Antarctica concentrated here. So the first sight is much more like the desert or something like this. It's a wasteland, let's say. Very, very unfriendly for the first sight, but after several days, just the very light snow was falling down, and after that, you will face to the really marvelous landscape, full of very strange shapes and objects. So definitely, it is not the wasteland, nor the desert. It's a garden of some sort.
And Czech researcher Pavel Kapler was Daniela Lazarova's guest in today's Panorama, a researcher at James Ross Island, Antarctica. Quick reminder, you'll find many more news items, features, and stories at our website. Radio.cz is the address to visit to visit, and you can sign up there for a free daily email if you want to keep abreast of all things going on in the Czech Republic. Also, you can take part in discussion on Facebook and Twitter. That, however, takes us to the end of today's program. I'm Jan Velinger. Thanks so much for joining us this day, and take care.